Well, good morning, everyone. While Brenda plays through a piece for us, let's take a moment and prepare our hearts for this the glorious Christmas service ahead. Joshua, would you come and lead us as we begin in How Great Our Joy, number 198, everyone. Do I trust that you find joy in the festivities of the season, but more importantly, in the person of the season, the Lord Jesus Christ, where our joy can be full and eternal. Let's begin in prayer and ask for God's blessing on this hour. Father God, we do thank you so much for who you are, that you love us with an everlasting love. And because of that love, you've drawn us. Thank you for drawing us together today, Father God. And thank you for being gracious to us and giving us that which we could not in any way provide for ourselves in the sacrificial death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a substitute for me and for each one in this room and for us all. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that through receiving Christ, we can have joy. And Lord, as we just sang about a great joy, I ask you, Father, that that would increase today and tomorrow. Throughout this hour, even, I ask you, Father God, that you would be honored and glorified, that in our time of giving and sharing in song and the opening of the scriptures and fellowship together in every way, we would worship you. You deserve that. Heavenly Father, I also ask you for those who aren't with us today. Maybe someone is struggling with some health issues. I do think of our sister and ask for a special grace for her. I know there are others, and some maybe because of travel conditions. Father God, I ask you that you would do a special work and that they too would be lifted up in the joy of our Savior Jesus Christ, who came into this world being born in Bethlehem, and we remember that this time of year. Father God, I ask you too that this evening, as several of us travel to Kalispell to join other churches like this one, where we can enjoy fellowship and sing inspiration together, Father, I ask you for safety for all. And Lord, again, as your word is opened, I ask that you would lead and guide as we consider the scriptures and that special event on the hillsides around Bethlehem, where shepherds were given an announcement, a message from you. May we learn from that passage today, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask Joshua to come and lead us in the song, Angels We Have Heard on High, number 225. Everyone to stand, take up your Bible, open it to Luke chapter 2, and follow along as Tom reads verses 1 through 7 for our scripture reading. Children's church then, right after the scripture reading, is dismissed, ages 2 through 6.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, and everyone unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Amen.
That's an amen. Thank you, Tom. You may be seated, and we'll go ahead and sing While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks, number 216. We just covered our text and song. We'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, and that song covers it quite well. It's interesting as I think about putting together sermons and ask God to guide in prayer. There is so much material. I could probably preach all year long about Christmas things, you know? It takes us all the way from the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3 to the fulfillment of all that the Lord Jesus Christ came to accomplish at the end of the book of Revelation. It is a subject that we enjoy this time of year, and there is much to think about as we do so. Today we'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, as I mentioned, so you can go there. On the back of the bulletin is an outline if you want to follow along in that way as well. Last week we read about Mary, a special person, a handmaid of the Lord, a key person in the Bible and gospel accounts of the Lord's birth in Bethlehem. Wow. She was foretold by Old Testament prophets about 700 years before She gave birth to the Lord Jesus in Bethlehem, and it was fulfilled in perfect detail. The Lord Jesus, Messiah, Savior, was born of a virgin, entered humanity exactly at the right time in human history, Galatians 4, verse 4. And this little boy was truly God with us, Emmanuel. God included angels like Gabriel. He included a carpenter, Joseph, a special man to be sure. God included John the Baptist and his parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth. He included wise men from the east, those magi, and shepherds. In the fields around the village of Bethlehem in Judea, some amazing things happened one day. There were ordinary shepherds tending their sheep, and God included them in his dramatic plans for Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and many others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we considered how you include ordinary individuals like these shepherds, we realize, though we are given some abilities by you, we're ordinary people as well. And I ask you, Heavenly Father, that we might be included in your plan for our age as the shepherds were, in your plan for that age, that day, that time. Father God, I ask you that we would learn through your word and apply it to our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I wonder, would the Lord include me? The song with the title I just cited goes like this in the first verse. I wonder, as I wonder out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor, ornery people like you and like I. Yes, I wonder, as I wonder out under the sky. I suppose all of us in our own way are ornery people. And yet, God can include us as he did the shepherds. That was written by John Jacob Niles, and it's kind of a fun Christmas song. We may sing that yet in the days ahead. What was the disposition of the shepherds that miraculous day? Who were they? What were they like? What was their disposition? By the way, that's number one on the back of the bulletin, the disposition of the shepherds. Shouldn't be too hard. I searched my thesaurus and came up with all words that begin with the letter D for the blanks that you can fill in. So the disposition of the shepherds. There are only 8 points that we'll really consider today. That's not many. That won't take us long. I guess you'll have to listen fast, okay? Why were these young men together? Why, they were young men, likely. Why were they together? Normally, shepherds would be off with their flock and not mingling the flock. Had they gathered on a hillside and let their flocks graze together? Well, I think that's very likely. It's probable. By the way, sheep know their shepherd's voice. Juanetta and I got to stay on an old homestead years ago where the owners had about 100 sheep. And I could try to call those sheep with exactly the same sound my voice as Walt did, but they wouldn't pay any attention to me. They didn't care. I was there. But if Walt said, "Sheep," they came running and jumping and all happy. They knew Walt's voice. They did. And did you know that Jesus spoke of that very thing in John chapter 10? This is what it says in verse 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. a stranger will they not follow. Of course, in the context of John chapter 10, the sheep represent those people who believe in Christ, who is the great shepherd, and follow him. Do you know Christ's voice? If you heard it in the pages of the Bible, is it distinct from others? I hope that it is. I hope you follow him. But it was not out of the question that the shepherds in our passage today, where we'll be looking at in a few moments, starting at verse 8, were sitting around together, letting their flocks graze. If they called their sheep, each little flock would come to their shepherd. What were they talking about? This is what I wonder as I wonder, you know. What were they talking about on those hillsides around Bethlehem that day? Maybe, I thought, they're singing some of the songs of King David. Maybe they had instruments. David took an instrument with him, and it calmed the sheep. You know, he wrote down many of the songs he sang, and they're in our Bibles for us. Maybe these shepherds were singing some of David's songs. I don't know. It could be. Maybe they were talking about the prophets. Maybe. And their predictions of the coming Messiah. Now, that would have been an interesting thing to be talking about when the angels showed up, wouldn't it? Wouldn't he be born in Bethlehem? One of them may have said. Wasn't that Messiah to be born as Micah the prophet said in Bethlehem? I don't know what they were talking about, but we can speculate on that. The disposition of the shepherds we can speculate about, but here's another thought. Shepherds were commoners. They were generally looked down upon in society. Their occupation kept them out of high society, and also they were not as well-kempt and well-dressed as the rest. They sometimes were considered vagabonds. Even David was not considered worthy by his father to be included when they met with Samuel the prophet on these very same hills. Samuel went to Bethlehem to meet with Jesse as God directed Samuel to anoint a king. And this is what it says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, I'm doing this on purpose. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. You see, the concept of shepherds was not as high as the rest of David's brothers. Well, they did fetch David, and David came, and it happened to be that God told Samuel, this is the one. Even though he was still a ruddy youth, God chose David to be their king, and that's even mentioned in this part of our Christmas account. Why do I bring all this up? Why? I'm thinking about the disposition of the shepherds. Well, let's read our text. Luke 2, verses 8 through 9. And there were in the same country, around Bethlehem, because that's what Tom just read about, of course, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Did God send his angel to King Herod? Did God send his angel to Annas, the high priest? No. Did God send his angel to the Sanhedrin, those 70 leaders in Israel? No, he sent this angel to shepherds, commoners. ordinary people. Did he send the angel to Caesar Augustus? No, obviously. God sent this messenger to poor shepherds, sinners, often despised by society, and told them first about the Savior. Is the order significant? Well, I believe that the Bible is literal, and yes, order is significant. I think it's significant that God's angelic messenger went to shepherds instead of nobles or nobility. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 11, Jesus talked to Pharisees who were elite. And when the Pharisees saw what Jesus had done, they said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Actually, shepherds would have been lumped in with that group. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call righteous," that would be the self-righteous, "but sinners to repentance." The angel came to announce the birth of their Savior first to shepherds. The disposition of the shepherds was they were sinners in need of a Savior. That was their disposition. Number two, the descent of the angel. It says in our text, "And lo," that doesn't mean low down here necessarily. Juanetta and I know, well, several of the missionaries that are in the room with us know John Denbor. He used to say it's biblical not to get up on the roof, right, Jerry? The word is also translated, "Behold." That's how it's translated in other places in our Bibles. It implies a dramatic appearance, something very dramatic. And then the word "came upon" as episteme, and it means instantly stood by them. Instantly stood by them. That had shocked me. I don't know about you. This was not swamp gas, by the way. This was not an ice formation. Juanetta and I have seen photos of an early winter wind before Flathead Lake froze over, and the wind carried mist upon the shore, and ice formed on the trees and bushes, and there is an incredible photograph somebody took down by Lakeside of angels, and up in the trees, it looks like angels, and actually Mary and Joseph and a manger, it looks like. And I know that it was just the brush taken, a photo taken of just the right angle and all of that. No, it wasn't ice, and it wasn't a cloud in the sky. It wasn't a storm, and certainly not a deep space nebula. This was a real angel from God, and lo, or behold, it came upon them, and they were scared. These guys were shaking. Along with the glory of the Lord, I understand that. I understand being frightened, don't you? You ever put yourself in their shoes or sandals? I'm sure the back of my neck would feel like the hair came to life. Number three, the display of God's glory. This was a blinding brightness. If you study the words, a blinding brightness, a display of the power of God. A manifestation of God's Shekinah glory. Shekinah means where God dwells. That's what it means. And that's where the word Shekinah comes from. In 1 Kings 8, verse 11, and 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 14, it says that the priests of Israel could not stand to minister, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house, the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord was present, that Shekinah glory, and it was blinding, and they couldn't even do their job. On that hillside, it must have been evening, that would have been a blinding light. Their eyes hadn't taken time to adjust. I noticed that mine take longer to adjust in my 60s than they did in my 20s, but their eyes hadn't had an opportunity to adjust. They were afraid. These shepherds literally feared a great fear. That's what it means. They feared a great fear. The presence of God is also significant, by the way. This announcement came with tremendous, awesome magnificence so that the shepherds were terrified. Number four, the declaration of the messenger. Verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And he continues, we will too. Fear not. I'm sure that would have helped, wouldn't have helped me much to hear those words, fear not. I don't think that would have helped me very much. What would that sound like coming from an angel? We can only guess. I don't know. Would it sound like an echo, echo, echo? I don't know what it would sound like. A deep, low voice like Tom's, maybe. Well, I don't know what angels are supposed to sound like, but it's the next statement that would likely help me some. Behold, I bring you good tidings. That would help a little, wouldn't it? Not bad news. That's a little better. At least it's not bad tidings. The message was promised to bring the shepherds great joy. That's better. That would help some. Yet also this message would be to all people. Did you notice that? Now, I could take a rabbit trail here. This message was not only entrusted to them, the shepherds, but also to us. How do I get there? Well, through the pages of the Bible, we learn that it's our job to take it to all people, isn't it? Yes, it is. It's our job to take it to all people. It was our grandparents' job. It was our great-grandparents, and it will be our children and the grandchildren's job as well. I'm not taking that rabbit trail. That could be an easy message in itself. The message now unfolds in verse 11, where his birth would be in Bethlehem. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In our Bible study the other day, we learned that this was some guys over at Tom's house, that Jerusalem was later called the City of David, but it had also been referred to, the City of David was a mention of Bethlehem. You have to determine that by the context. And in this, and by the way, Jerusalem and Bethlehem are less than 5 miles apart, so it's somewhat interchangeable. But this has to do with Bethlehem because of Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Go to Micah in the Old Testament. If you can find Daniel, go to Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and then Micah. If you know where Jonah is, I'm sorry, you'll be able to find Micah. It's the next book of the Bible after Jonah. Okay, chapter 5, verse 2. Micah the prophet in 700 B.C. wrote, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, even from everlasting. The message unfolds, the birth of the Messiah in Bethlehem, according to Micah, fulfilling God's word. It was not in Bethel. It was not in Gibeon. It was not even in Jerusalem, but Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means the house of bread, just as God said through Micah. Unto you, of course, the message unfolds in our text, verse 11, where it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Unto you. The shepherds? Yes. You Israelites? Yes. They were Israelites. You Jews? Yes. They would have been Jewish in religion. The rest of the world unto you? The rest of the world? Yes. A savior, a soter, a deliverer, one who would deliver his people from destruction, from death and sin. And that, dear friend, is our savior too. Christ the Lord. Christ is the New Testament equivalent to the Old Testament Messiah. Lord is kurios. It means master. He was our Messiah master. And then the angel declares two signs. Here's the two signs in verse 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Two signs. Now, Bethlehem was not a big city. It was not even a big town. It consisted of a few hundred people, less than 500, the way I understand it, in those days. It was a little bigger than Rexford. And all the homes were close together. They weren't spread out. Like Tom's address is considered a Rexford address. That wouldn't have been the case in Bethlehem. They were closer together than that. It wouldn't take long to find the one criteria, or the one that fit the criteria, those two signs. Swaddling clothes were strips of cloth customarily used to wrap an infant in for warmth and protection and security, and Mary was a good mom. When our little guys were born, I would wrap them up in baby blankets, and I would tuck their feet together and wrap over their toes and from side to side in their arms and tuck it in, and Juanetta would say, "That's too tight," or "That's too loose," or "That's just right." I know I couldn't do it right, so she had to help me. Every once in a while, it was just right. And this little Lord Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes for that purpose, for warmth, for protection, security. And there may have been others in Bethlehem, but in a manger? You understand that as a place for feeding livestock. That's not a normal place to place a newborn infant. Now, that's not normal, but the shepherds could surely find the place. It wouldn't take them long. The inn that they couldn't stay in likely was up above, and there was a cave underneath that they used for feeding livestock. That's likely the setting. Yes, those two signs were part of the angel's message, the declaration of the angel. But then that's not all. It seems suddenly again, we have verses 13 and 14. And by the way, on the outline, this is the doxology of the heavenly host. Verses 13 and 14, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God, or doxa to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Suddenly, now there's another shocking event that took place. I would have to think, if I was one of those shepherds, now what? Now what? The shepherds were having quite the day and night, weren't they? Sure they were. I have nitro in our pockets for things like this. It's supposed to help us in case we get shocked too much that we need help with our hearts. Anyway, they were praising God and saying, of course, what I just read, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Was that a choir? We often think of it as an angelic choir. a huge one. A multitude, it basically means innumerable. And it was even bigger than our own angelic choir here. The adult choir is about 15 people right now. It's bigger than that, than our angelic choir, which we'll get to hear next week, and I'm looking forward to that. They said, glory to God, or doxa to God. We sing, and that's the Greek word that is translated glory. We sing a doxology, one of Trudy's favorites. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Right, Trudy? Yeah. We give him glory here below. Anyway, here the angelic hosts say, glory to God in the highest. In the highest, literally the highest places. Where? Heaven. And the heaven of heavens. He's not only there, but he's with us on earth. Anywhere else? Yes, on earth. Peace on earth. Well, there isn't right now, but there will be someday. Through Christ, the Christ of Bethlehem. Go to Isaiah chapter 9, and we do this, of course, each Christmas time. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah foretold of this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So this is a male child, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and that day will come. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There isn't peace on earth universally right now, but there will be when Christ reigns on earth. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There will be the Prince of Peace, and that's good news. Let's go to number 6, the departure of the angels. Verse 15, in our text, Luke 2:15, it says in the first half, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. The departure of the angels, this was not a dramatic event, as was their entrance. It was, they were able to watch them. They were gone away is one Greek word that means to go off. They went off. They saw that event. It seems that they ascended up to heaven and the shepherds watched them go, and that would be quite the sight. Number 7, the determination of the shepherds. Verse 15, the part that I haven't read, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe who was lying in the manger. What did they do with their flocks? We don't know. They probably left them out there on those hillsides around Bethlehem. We do know that they went with haste. The Bible tells us so. And they were determined to see what God had done. This wasn't to go and see if it had been done. It was to go see what has been done. They knew it had happened. They were not going to see if. Aren't humans too often like that? We'll maybe go and see if it's like we've heard or been told. They didn't do that. They were going to see it. They knew it had already taken place. The birth was real. They found quickly, just as they were told. God's word is true after all. Yes, it was, and yes, it is. Number 8, the disclosure of the shepherds. They were determined to go see this, and then they disclosed, verses 17 and 18. This is their disclosure. And when they had seen it, they made known. They disclosed abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. The testimony of these dear shepherds was not a quiet, keep it to yourself thing. They made known abroad. They told others about it. To Joseph and Mary? Yes. To those in the inn above? It seems so, apparently, yes. To many in Bethlehem town? Yes, they did. To others along the way and in the fields? It sounds like it to me, doesn't it, to you? Sounds like it to me. They made known abroad what had happened, what they were told by God through the angel. And it caused wonder to all those that heard it. I don't know if you caught that. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Verse 18. It prepared all who heard this message for what was to come. And what was to come? Well, none other than the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who 30 years later, around Bethlehem and Jerusalem and all the way to Galilee, people said, you know, I remember a bunch of shepherds talking about this years ago or something like that. I don't know what they remembered. However, this message that the shepherds told them prepared them to receive their Messiah. Maybe God will use you in that way to help prepare someone's heart to receive their Savior this Christmas season. Those shepherds were used like that centuries ago. I wonder, could it be the Christ that we heard from the shepherds? When Jesus was walking Jerusalem, the people may have wondered. And also, were they more open to belief? I believe so. God often uses a message or a person, certainly his word, even circumstances sometimes to prepare us and ready us to receive the message of salvation through Christ. Even Mary, verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Their testimony, their disclosure made a difference for Mary too. And then verse 20 is another example for us to glorify and praise God. That word glorify is doxazo, and it means to praise God for all the things that they and we have heard and seen as it was told unto us. And we see it, we hear it, we understand it through the pages of our Bibles. We ought to glorify God for this. We ought to glorify him. We must glorify him for this. This time of year, many are more open to these things. Let's glorify. Let's praise God and make known abroad these wonderful truths that we have a Savior who is Christ the Lord. People can receive him as their own Savior. And we can present that. We must present that to them. But maybe there's someone here who hasn't yet made that personal and real in their own life. And you need to do that today. I challenge you to talk with me or one of us. We'll help you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this portion of what we call the Christmas story. We know it's a real account, and it really did happen, and it was awe-inspiring for the shepherds, and yet they took it seriously, and they knew they were sinners in need of a Savior, and so are we. And Father, I thank you for providing that salvation for everyone who believes in this Lord Jesus Christ who was born in Bethlehem that day. Father God, I ask you that if there's someone that needs to make that decision, the Holy Spirit will work in their heart, not give them peace, not give them comfort until they have made that decision personal and real for themselves. Father God, I ask you that throughout Eureka and the Tobacco Valley and Northwest Montana and BC, Father God, I ask you that there would be many come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior through this, what we call the Christmas season. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we have the true Word of God, which shows us the way. And I ask that our church family would be those who spread that message. For your honor and glory, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you, everyone, for your patience and attention. We'll close by singing a song and a Christmas carol, of course. Thou didst leave thy throne. Just think of it. What we just read about, God himself left his throne in heaven and came down to earth and was born in a humble setting. Shepherds recognized that. I'm sure Mary and Joseph recognized that. How about you? Let's sing about that. Thou didst leave thy throne, number 218. Please stand as we finish today. Number 218, thou didst leave thy throne. Good afternoon, everyone.